Get out of the boat. Hallelujah. I feel that in my heart this week. I felt that in my heart. I felt a stirring in my heart that sometimes we get so comfortable in a boat. God might have told you to get into the boat. But I want you to know there'll come a place where God says it's time to get out of the boat. And He'll ask you to get out of the boat in the most uncomfortable times that you cannot imagine. I thought about this, and I thought about the young boy that came to this church and he was homeless. Had nowhere to go. And I remember as he walked in the door and I looked at him, I felt God telling me, he's going to live with you. And I was uncomfortable with it. I had a 12-year-old daughter at the time. I think she was 12. And we're used to living with the three of us. And it kind of made me feel uncomfortable. Made my wife feel uncomfortable. She wasn't sure about it, but she knows that whenever God says something to me, that she's going to trust her. She goes, you sure ask Him again. But I felt like that. I felt like I was okay in the boat. But at that moment, I heard God say, get out of the boat, Chris. Get out of the boat. You got to get out of that comfortable place. Come on, amen. And he came and he lived with me. And God gave him the opportunity, come on, to know what an unconditional love was upon his life. An unconditional love. A taste of what God poured into my heart. I poured into his heart. And she poured into his heart. But it made me uncomfortable. I want you to know, I'm here to tell you tonight, I want you to know that God is asking you and calling you, whether you, sometimes we harden our hearts, sometimes we get in a place where we stop listening. Sometimes we get in a place, we're comfortable in that boat, you feel like you're secure. Sometimes we go to church, we're in the boat. We're at church, you're in the boat. Tell your neighbor, you're in the boat.
In the boat.
But I want you to know that God's going to ask you to step out the boat, get over the side of the rail. I wouldn't have a problem with that, Cindy, if the waters were calm. If it was a sunny day, if it was smooth and I could see for sure, is that Jesus calling me? But I want you to know, like I'm going to talk about tonight, He asked them to come out when it was the worst conditions, unbelievable conditions, but they heard His voice. They heard His voice. And it looked bad. I want you to know, but I want you to know, you come alive. You come alive when you get out of the boat. Come on. Your heart begins to pump like it never pumped before. Come on, amen. You begin to breathe life, true life, into your heart. Zoe life. Abundant life. How many of you want abundant life? I want abundant life. Come on, amen. So I want to get out of the boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Matt. Thank you. He did a great job, didn't he? They all did, man. What a they harmonized so good. I love it. Amen. Now my big mouth in the front, I don't have a big mouth. Thanks, honey. She said I'm cute. Listen, I want you to look at this Genesis. Thank you, Brother Dan. He is just becoming a better and better drummer all the time. Amen, ain't he? Man, amen. Listen, I want to challenge you tonight. This is what the Lord has spoke to us. This is what He's declared. Amen. Tell someone this is a commandment. Amen. You know I love your neighbor as your, but no. But this is a command that He's placed in your hearts. That whether you know it or not, when you activate it with faith, you respond this way. Listen. My wife told me this was her opening scripture too. Isn't that how the way the Lord works? Amen. Listen to this. Have not I commanded you? Have not I given you a command? Be strong. Tell your neighbor, be strong. And be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Don't be confused. Come on, amen. Don't feel any contrary things going around you. Do not be dismayed. Don't be afraid. He says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen? Wherever you go, He's with you. He is with you. So I just want you to hear that. I want you to just take hold of that in your heart. So let's look at Matthew. I want you to see this tonight and grab hold of this word. I'm losing pages. I can't lose that. That's where Jesus was born. Won't know what to preach at Christmas time. Matthew 14:27. If you help me tonight, I'm not going to be long because I know it's a little bit warm and sometimes it's hard to keep everybody's attention. Are you too bad? You're not too bad, are you? You all right? You need a little hand fan? Anybody need a hand fan? Hand fan. Nobody. All right. Good. All right. Here we go. And this is in Matthew 14:27. And this is what I said, that he constrained the disciples to get in the boat. He got them into the boat. I want you to know that sometimes at that moment, you hear the voice of God tell you, give you direction in your life, and you begin to respond to it. You get in the boat, and you get comfortable in that place. And sometimes it's the way that we are sometimes in church or with our salvation with God, that we get in this place. And I want you to know that sometimes we feel a discomfort, a dissatisfaction. I want you to know because we are to press on. Amen. We're not meant just to be, stay in one spot. Amen. Just take hold of the gift that God has given me in salvation. But I have been saved not just from something, but I've been saved for something. Tell your neighbor, I've been saved for something. I want you to hear that and understand that's where purpose comes in. Amen? I want you to see and understand that that's where purpose comes in. That's where the abundance comes in my heart and begins to overflow. I need some overflow. In spite of whatever's going on, brother, I need some overflow. And this is where it takes place, that when God's stirring your heart, and he began to speak to him, he says, go before him, go to the other side. Well, I sent the multitude away, and Jesus went a different place, and the ship was there, and all of a sudden it gets in the middle of the sea, not on the edge of the sea, not almost there, but no, in the middle of the sea. Come on, amen. But all things work together for good for those who are called, that love God and are called according to his purpose. I want you to know that despite the storms, you got to know that you're called. So let that set within your life. Amen. Let that settle within you no matter what's going on. Because the enemy will do everything he can to disrupt the calling of your life. Because I want you to know, he wants to disrupt where you're going. Come on. He wants to disrupt where you're headed to. Come on, amen. Because everything that we do in Christ is for purpose. Everything that's happening in you is not just for you, but it's for somebody else. Amen. God's working in your life, moving within you, working within your life, so that out of that becomes an overflow. Come on, amen. Because you will be unhappy and unsatisfied when it's all about me. But when you begin to move the way God has called you to be, because you're built this way. Hallelujah. Come on, amen. We are built this way. Have you ever seen that there's something that happens where that you would not respond in these conditions, but you do when you see somebody in a hurtful place. They did this experiment. I don't know where I've seen it, but they did this experiment and they were testing this guy with, what was it on? It was on, what's that show called? Talent show. America's Got Talent. And they took Howie Mandel. You know how he's afraid of everything. He's afraid of germs. Germophobic. And they put these goggles on him. And they put them on this virtual reality thing. And he's afraid of heights. And he had to climb, walk across this tightrope. And there was somebody that was screaming out for help. And it looked so real. And they're raising their hands. And it caused him to move out of his comfortable place. There was something within him. Come on, amen. It was in his DNA. Come on, amen. It was more than just about him. There's something that responds within all mankind. Amen. There's something within us that we're connected to that are greater than ourselves. So I want you to know that God will press you to go beyond yourself. And that's where we begin to realize that there's something more. Amen. So he began to pull them and they began to go to this place. And he says, and was contrary. Remember that word. It was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, because Jesus says you will get to the other side. How many of you feel sometimes that you're never going to make it to the other side? I feel like a child in the back seat telling him, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? They just came from vacation. They know what I'm talking about. Are we there yet? You've heard that before. Amen. He says, And he says, and the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed by the waves. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went in unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples, they saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is the Spirit. And they cried out for fear. Ripped page, hang on. He says, and straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Isn't that Jesus, though? I mean, he really digs down deep within us. Hey! I mean, the boat's rocking. I mean, the waters are hitting them in the face. It is stormy. It is horrible looking outside. And they're clinging on to the side of this raft for dear life. And Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Be strong. For I am here. I want you to know at that moment, those words spoke to somebody in the boat. And it's that moment where he speaks to our hearts. In Hebrews, it says, today, if you hear. Four times he says it. And every time he ends with it, he says, harden not your hearts. Here, now, four times, harden not your hearts. Because when God begins to speak to us, sometimes we begin to blow it off. We begin to turn our ears. We begin to get so overwhelmed by this that we don't give God the opportunity to wow me. Sometimes in that moment, it's that moment of faith. It's faith that moves God. Amen. That it's me participating in what His command is, what His Word has said, that God has given us His Word. And when He declares His Word, He says, just take hold of that Word and walk in that Word. I've called you. He says, be of good courage. Where? Because I'm here. And Peter, something set within him and says, where he is, I need to be. And it's contrary to what I think, because right now the boat is shattering, things aren't in control, but it seems like it, but it's safer than there, it seems like. But I need to be where he is. Amen? He says, I need to be where he is. And he says, and said, Lord, if thou be thou, bid me to come unto you. He says, bid me to come on the waters. Watch what you say. Because Jesus says, come. He was probably hoping like I would have been. He's like, I'm going to say this, but I'm hoping. He says, no, it's all right. Don't move. I'm coming. I'll sit with you. You're good. Come on. Amen. I remember, because I can just imagine this, because I was on a whitewater rafting tour one time that I thought, there's no problem. I got this. My friends tell me, this is nothing. Well, unfortunately, it rained for 2 days. And what was a 5-hour rafting trip was 2 hours. So you can imagine what the water's like. I get in and they load us in, they get us in this place, and they put me in the smallest. The only size they had was a helmet that my head is not, it's not too hard. I do have the picture of this too. In the helmet, yeah, okay, it's just, yes. Helmet is on my head. It's like a bicycle helmet. It's plastic. I don't know what it's going to do, but I was demanded. I had to wear it. Okay. I'm like, I'm better off without this thing. And so they put this thing on my head, and then they put me in a wetsuit. I don't look great in a wetsuit, but then they give me this life preserver that is like, it is pulling in all my lung capacity that I can hardly breathe. And I'm standing there in the picture with a paddle in my hand. So I get in this boat and we enter in. They enter in the safest place you could imagine. It looks like, this is easy. I got this. You're overconfident. You feel so good until you begin to round the bend. And all of a sudden you hear, and everything within you begins to, and you're looking at young people beside you and you're thinking, man, I'm the grown man right here. I need to be strong. I need to be strong. And he says, listen, and he tells you everything that he told me. I didn't listen to anything. I said, I'm going to survive. Amen. I felt like, who sings that song? I will survive. I felt that way. I heard that song playing in my ear. And as we began to round that bed, I felt more comfortable in a boat. He says, listen, if you begin to lose grip, let go. Don't grab hold of it because you will drown in the boat. No, I won't. Mm-mm. I'll drown in the water, not in the boat. And as we begin to go, he says, first of all, one of my friends that was with me began to tell the one guy when he walked on the boat, he said his name was Big Jim. And he says, you don't look that big to me. Well, guess who? The first person off the boat, Tony Flowers. He was the first one off the boat. First rapids we hit, he was gone. This guy knew what he was doing. Amen. He says, so when we began to rapid go around there, I began to wrap my body parts around every part of this raft. You're not supposed to do that. Mm-mm, I'm going to do that. And as Tony flew by me, I thought, listen, here you go, brother. I love you, but I'm going to do this one time. And I reached out and I grabbed him with one arm, all the adrenaline with the, amen. This is the redeeming power that you reached out. And I said, listen, this is it right here. You have one chance to be saved and this is your moment. Do you get that? I'm looking at his eyes and he's saying, save me. Mm-hmm. I did. And I yanked him up into the boat. But as we were going, all of a sudden we began to see people with flying down past us. I'm like, oh my God, what? I tell my raft guide, what do we do here? What color's your helmet? I said, yellow. Theirs is red. Ain't my problem. I thought, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Life is in this guy's hands. But I want you to hear this and know that sometimes we think it's safe. Sometimes, but we have an instructor that's with us. Amen. That knows the way. He's our God. He's our director. And he says, come. I want you to hear that when you hear the voice of God, I want you to know that hearing the voice of God, you pay to hear the voice of God. It costs you a sense of comfort. It causes you to get out of the place where that you're so comfortable. I want you to know that sometimes we're so lured, we're so fooled to think that this is better than there. But I want you to know that we need to hear His voice, because what He says, come on, amen, is perfect in all of His ways. Everything that He says is right. It's just. Hallelujah. It is for my good. And I need to know He's my Father calling me not to stay in that place. Come on, amen. Not to stay in that place. I love you. I want you to come higher. I want you to know me beyond boundaries. I want you to know me beyond borders. I want you to know me to a greater depth, more than just a religion. But I want you to experience me in a relationship. And the only way it happens is if you get out of the boat. And at that moment, Peter got up out of that boat, man. And he paid a price because he was scared. It was more comfortable in the boat, but he knew that he needed to go where the voice was calling him. Sometimes the voice of God will call you in places you don't feel comfortable with. I remember a story of a guy one time where he was driving home from church and he really felt God telling him, he says, go buy some milk and bread. Buy some groceries. He was just coming from church. He's thinking he was all pumped up from the service of church. He's like, I got to buy these. I'm going to do this and that. So he's driving the road and he's driving around for like an hour. He's like, well, God, now what do I do? He's hoping maybe he's seeing a homeless person, this and that. And he really felt he's driving. He gets to the end of this road and he's sitting at this road. This looks like an old abandoned houses and all this. And he looks and he sees this one house with a light on. And he felt, go right here. This is it. I'm not getting out of this car. This place looks like there's nobody even living here. He gets up and he goes and he walks up to the door and he knocks on the door. All of a sudden, the guy that couldn't even speak English comes to the door and he's looking at this man and he says, I have these groceries for you. And the guy turns around, he looks and there's a woman in the back with a baby and the baby's crying. And all of they look at one another. And here he finds out that they were crying. They had nothing. They had no money, no groceries, nothing. And this baby didn't have any food and it was on a Saturday or a Sunday or something like that. He couldn't get anything till Monday or Tuesday. And God was knocking at the door. Oh, I know it made him feel uncomfortable, but he got to that place. I want you to know that God sometimes will put you in the most uncomfortable conditions for you to experience His unamountable love and power and might. That's what God does. Tell someone that's what God does. But he got out. He was learning to go to the voice of God, moving towards the voice of God. Sometimes people say to me, God doesn't talk to me. Are we listening? Am I getting out when God talks? Am I moving with what God says to me? Maybe it's the little things that I need to learn to do and begin to respond to those things. Just get in the boat the first time. Amen? But it's the little things that we begin to hear and we begin to trust God. In Luke 8, I want you to jump there real quick. Luke 8:26. This is just a side note. But Luke 26, it says, Luke 8:26. And they said, tell your neighbor they arrived. They arrived to the Gadarenes, which was over against them. And they were in a boat again. But they got there and they weren't meant to stay there. So they come to this post, they're in this boat, and they get off the boat. They're trusting Him to lead them to this place that, hey, they're going to go here and they're going to have a tent meeting and everything's going to be good. Maybe serve communion, whatever they got to do, and have this little social event. And all of a sudden, as they got out of the boat, here comes a naked guy. With chains on. Yeah. Screaming and yelling. Running after you. I don't know about you, but at that moment I'm saying, hey, I'm good, Jesus. I'm getting back in the boat. You know, let's just go. I'm skipping this missionary trip. But at that moment, they arrived. They arrived where He wanted them to be. And at that moment, I want you to know that something began to happen. At that moment, they began to see Jesus deliver something, and something happened because they got out of the boat. They didn't get back in it. Sometimes you feel like getting back in it. Sometimes you go, I'm just going to get back in the boat. I'm just going to try to stay comfortable. But I want you to know the only way you begin to see the greatness of God is getting out of the boat. That's where we see it. Amen? All right. Listen, I want you to see this, that everybody, look at this. See this balloon? You see it? Everybody, you see it? You know, how many of you had a birthday party and you had your kids and you had these laying all over the floor just like that? Happy birthday! That would be ridiculous. But I want you to know, sometimes we're like this. We're like this. Without living in the full potential of what we can be. And as I begin to think about this, I begin to think that God begins to do something in our lives. And I want you to know that, listen to me, as God begins to work within us, begins to move us inside, the reality of it and the fruit of it is revealed on the outside. You can't see what's on the inside, but you could see the reality of it on the outside. See, that's what God wants us to be. That's abundant life, where that everybody around begins to see what's on the inside. Begin to see what's taking place. And the only way that happens is when we're willing to get out of that comfort zone. Where we're out of that place where it seems like it's comfortable to get out of the boat. Amen? You could toss it around. Amen. You don't have to do it in concerts. You could do it here. See, it's like faith. Faith without works. You can give that to her. Faith without works is dead. See, that's what it's for. Come on, amen. Look at that balloon. How does the balloon bring happiness like that? Look at that. See, she wasn't thrilled by the balloon that was undeflated. But that reached its potential. And I began to think about that too. Is you know what? It takes a stretching. When that balloon is blown up, it stretches it. And only being stretched do you reach your potential. Only being stretched can we ever reach our potential. Only whenever we're willing to step out of the boat do we reach the potential. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry, honey. That's the only time. What's on the inside is noticed on the outside. It's noticed on the outside. It's the overflow of what's on the inside that makes her get out of her seat. I got to get that. Amen? Luke 9. I'm going to get to my point here. Luke 9. Luke 9:21. Let me wrap this up. And he says, straightly charges them, and he commanded them to tell no man. He said, the Son of Man. And this is in verse 23. And he says, if any man will come after me, get out of the boat, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. Pick up his cross and follow me. But I want to give this to you. I want you to understand this, to know that what he's talking about is if we're willing to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. And see, the cross is always signifying a denial of my own flesh. Come on, amen. My own safety net, that place where that I find myself in the comforts of the back of the boat. Come on, amen. But he's asking us to daily pick up your cross, to step out of the comfort zone, what makes you comfortable, and begin to walk in God's will. Amen. Jesus stepped out of his comfort zone from heaven. Amen. And he got into a place and he began to walk towards what the Father has called. He picked up his cross and did the will of the Father. Amen. But to us to understand what that means, we have to go before this and see what the scripture says before. And Jesus asked his disciples, he says, who do they say that I am? And they said, well, they said you're Elijah, and they said that you're a prophet, and they began to declare these different things. And then he asked them, he says, but who do you say that I am? I want you to know that, listen to me, we can't think about or worry about what anybody else says or thinks about who he is. But for me to know who he is to me is what gets me out of the boat. Come on, amen. When I begin to realize what he did for me or how much he loves me will cause me to get out of that place. And Peter declared and he spoke up. He says, you are the Christ. And he used the word Christ because it means the anointed one. The only way that I can ever, come on, amen, do the things you ask me to do is with an anointing. Come on, amen. So he identified that. He says, you are my Savior. You're my Redeemer. You're the only way that I'm ever going to succeed. The only way that I'm going to reach my full potential of who I am is when I know who you are. I find out who I am. I begin to live in abundance when I know who you are. I begin to realize who I really am. Because I begin to fall in love with my Creator, my Designer, the one that made me, the one that blew life into me, that caused me to be who I am. You say I am. See, I want you to know that's what gets you out of the boat. That's what gets you out of comfort places when you know who he is. Nothing will cause you to give that up. You hold on. You'll take hold of that. Amen? And he says, the difference about what they say and what you say. And he says this, and as he goes on, where am I at here? Luke 9:21, he says, and if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily and follow me. Bless you. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall be saved. I want you to get this and see this and know that what we think sometimes is life in our eyes is an unblown up balloon, not reaching the full potential. That we don't gain the life that he intended us to live with abundance. I want you to hear this and know that sometimes in marriage, I want you to know to have a happy marriage, there has to be many funerals every day. I say this as I counsel all the time. And they look at me funny. What do you mean? Because I want you to know, you realize that thing that you used to have, whether it's selfish pride, whatever that thing is, because when I got married, I thought I was the most patient person in the world. So I met my wife. I thought I could wait. I thought I could do good. No, I couldn't. It drove me crazy. But I knew that I had to let it go for this to succeed. I couldn't let this bring a divide between us. I had to let that part, that selfish pride, that selfish thing, that impatient that I was, let it go. And you know the song. Go ahead, Beth. No. Many funerals. Whether I had to die to self, I had to pick up my cross daily. I want you to know that there's some things that we hold on to. It's like that boat. That there's some things that I have to die daily. There's some things that we hold on to, that we run to. And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, is that we are, he says that he is my hiding place. But sometimes, unfortunately, there's a lot of things that we hide to. There's a lot of things, whether it's blame. A lot of people do that. Come on, you see it a lot of times that you feel good and you feel secure when you blame it on something. Come on, I am the way that I am because of what my parents did. I want you to know there are some truth in that, but I want you to know that blame, we can't do that. We have to run to Him as my shelter. That's the only way to fix it. Amen? Because just blaming it on them is not going to fix it. Amen? It might feel, make you feel good for a moment, but that's not the way we're supposed to do. We're supposed to hide Him. He's my hiding place. He's my shelter. He's my strong tower. When the storm comes, I need to go to Him. But inside you, you don't always run to that. We hide in a boat, or we hide in a safe place that we feel secure in, that we've run to for so long. Instead of just saying, I'm done, I'm going to go to Him. I'm just going to go to Him. Listen. And he says, for what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, in him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. But I tell you the truth, there's be some of you here that shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. He was talking about his rising from the dead. Amen. He says, I'm not telling you that you don't have to deny yourself with your own power, but I'm telling you, you can do it in my power. You can do it in my strength. Let me just look real quick in Galatians 6. Check this out. Are you okay? I just want to give you this scripture. Galatians 6, 16 to 16. I think so. Where are we at? I'm sorry, Galatians 5, 16. He says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not carry out impulse or perform those things. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. They're contrary. Come on, I talked about that when they were on the boat. He said that your flesh wants to stay in the boat. Protect yourself. You know when we hurt somebody, a lot of times it's protecting myself. You know when you cut somebody down, sometimes it's a relief to feel like you're protecting yourself. If you say something rude to them before they say something to you, it's a form of protection. But it's not. But it feels that way. If somebody does something to you, come on, look at me, you're looking at me funny. When somebody does something to you, we're driving down the road, the first thing you want to do is you want to get upset. I had a guy yesterday where I was coming around the bend. This is the truth. I didn't flip him off. Dan was looking at me there. Listen, I come around the bend. I was coming around the bend. And you don't need to be worried about my speed, buddy. You pulled out in front of me. He pulled out right in front of me. And he did not have one of those things to read my speed. He didn't know. He didn't have any evidence to me for him to do what he did to me. He looked at me and said, what's your problem? What's my problem? Do you know that I'm 6'4", 270 pounds? I'm driving. I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? What did I do at that moment? And your first instinct is to defend yourself. Come on, amen? I mean, you just get angry. That's the first thing that we run to. Come on, that's our flesh. That's our flesh that sometimes we just feel that way. When my wife says something to me, and I want to say, what? Love you. You didn't say that. Love you. Come on, y'all there. But I want you to know it's the flesh that lusts against the Spirit. It's fighting it. It's contrary. Here's Jesus out in the midst of a storm calling you to come into it. Your flesh is saying, are you stupid? Are you kidding me? That's your flesh. But your spirit, come on, amen, is calling, amen. It's spirit. Jesus is calling you to come, amen. Even though you can't, you're not sure what to do, but you know you need to go because it's contrary. It's contrary to what you believe and to what you have already known, amen. The impulse. It's contrary, getting you. And he says, but if you be led by the Spirit. No, let me finish. He says, contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And we go on, fornication, uncleanliness, no restraint. I know some people with no restraint. No restraint. I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. And it says, and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred, variance. He says, and troublemaking, envy and murders, drunkenness, revelries. And he says, and such like of these I tell you before, as I have also told you in the times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit or obtain the kingdom of God. And what that means is you will not obtain the reality of God. Listen, he's telling me this, that you can obtain the reality of the kingdom of God as it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. You can obtain the reality of the kingdom of God in your lives right now, in experiencing that. And he says, but the fruits of the Spirit, just like that balloon, come on, amen, the evidence of that, perfect timing. Lift up that balloon. Piper, lift it up. Lift it up for everybody to see. Can you lift it up? All right. She's part of the prop, but she didn't do it. That's all right. We're spontaneous. And the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you want to get the kids? Long-suffering. And against meekness, temperance, goodness, faith, and such against these is law. He says, and they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying. But if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Amen? That faith will give us an environment for God to move. Faith will give God an environment to move. And as we see Him and we walk in that, it's to move when God speaks to us. To hear His voice. And step out. And experience life. Amen? Come on up, brother. Praise Him. Would you come up? Chris, you want to go ahead? Listen, how many guys know that we talk about the reality of this, of what he did, that he stepped out of the boat, that he left the heavenlies, come on, amen, he left the comforts of the heavens to come here, step out of the boat and give us this. And I want you to know that it's not just salvation, which is awesome, come on, amen, I rejoice in my salvation, I rejoice in it daily. But I want you to know that I'm not just saved from something, I'm saved for something. To have abundance of life. To let the Almighty God flow through me. That I can experience through faith an opportunity to let God Almighty move me. Come on, move me in places. Step into places that I'm uncomfortable with. But I'm willing to let go. Why? Because He let go. And He's empowered me because the anointing that's in me, just like that balloon, to experience full potential. Experience your full potential. Come on, amen. Just let go and say, God, I need to know you. I need to know you in that way. That's my heart. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable. But I don't want to know God any other way. Amen. Would you stand your feet? Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Come on, let's worship you. by His presence. Hallelujah. To be overcome. That our fears be overcome.
Hallelujah.
That our understanding, come on, amen, be overcome by the presence of God. That His voice overcomes any doubt that we have in our lives, but trusting Him. That we stake everything that we got on what He has spoken. Come on, amen. Everything that's around you, everything that you see is because of His Word.
Hallelujah.
It is the reality that we have. Everything that's moving, everything that has breath, every mountaintop, every sky, every sunshine, every sunset is because of His Word. I'm depending upon it to overshadow any fear that I have, any news reports, anything that comes upon me. I'm trusting in His, in this Word, and believing it. That any shadow, with any doubt, with any fear, I'm getting out of the boat. Come on, amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting out of the boat. Come on, I'm getting out of the boat. Come on, I'm getting out of the boat. Amen. Come on. Let's walk on water. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's walk on water. In Jesus' name, we give You glory and we give You praise. And we will declare that we are and highly favored. Amen. Give somebody a hug. Bless somebody in Jesus' name. No snacks tonight, but just bless somebody. Hallelujah. See you next Saturday night.